I don't know if you've ever been traveling through the mountains and find yourself on one of these two-lane roads that sort of hugs the mountain on one side and then has a large drop-off on the other. We've been there a couple of times. Luann and I, a few years ago, we went to took a cruise to Alaska. And one of the things that we decided to do was when we got to Skagway, which is one of our ports of call, to rent a car and to drive up into Canada, up into the Yukon, because we thought that sounded adventurous and fun, and, you know, we thought we'll see some beautiful sights while we're up there. And so we were pretty excited. We got the rental car in Skagway, and we headed up and got into Canada okay with our passports, and then we got up into the mountains, and it got really scary. I don't know if it's clouds or fog. I mean, we were up pretty high, but the road, it was two-lane. And it was hugging the mountain on one side, and I think it was a pretty good drop on the other side. I really couldn't see because it was so foggy. And we didn't meet anybody. I mean, for miles we drove, and we saw no one. And because it was so foggy, and the road was kind of curvy because it was kind of hugging the mountain and everything, we were pretty scared. I tend to talk a lot when I get scared. I was talking a lot. And we were trying to navigate this. We were going really, really slow, right? There was no place to pull off anywhere. If we got in trouble, we didn't have any cell phone service. So if we got in trouble, there was nobody to call. And I was pretty sure that if somebody came up the road really fast, they'd probably end up in our back seat because we were going really, really slow. We were very relieved when we got on the other side of the mountain range, down into the valleys and the plains. There were some beautiful stuff there, but for a while it was really slow going, really tense, really difficult. On one of my sabbaticals that I've taken 30 years of pastoring, 31 years, I've taken a couple of sabbaticals, and one particular sabbatical I spent some time in Colorado by myself, took my four-wheel drive truck and got out there. I went to a monastery for a while, and that only lasted for a week. I got tired. The monks wouldn't talk to me. I don't know what it was. But anyway, somebody had a condo from our church they let me rent or let me use for a week or two. So while I was there, though, somebody had given me this book of trail roads, fire roads, maps of places that you can only go on a four-wheeler or in a four-wheel drive vehicle. And so I did a little bit of exploring during the day. And that got to be, that was a little scary too, because back in those places, you get out there, again, no cell phone service, and the fire roads are not very well kept. They can be quite rocky. They're very narrow, again, and so you have to go really, really slow, or I know in the book that they gave me, it said if you go too fast, you might blow your tires, because it's the rocks and things on the road and craggy, and one time I was going down this fire road, and it went up on the hill a little bit, and I thought for sure I was going to tump over, and there was no turning around. There were no places on these roads. I remember one day I was out, couldn't find anywhere to turn around. I finally stopped to have lunch and ate the lunch I brought on the back of my pickup, and I got the map out, and I was trying to figure out, because there was no way to turn around, I was going to have to go forward until I could connect with another road that could take me back. I learned something real valuable on that trip, but if you're going to go do that kind of thing, get a full tank of gas. That kind of made me nervous. I was so scared that nobody was going to know where I was because no cell phone service, right? You see, I'm kind of hung up on cell phone service. But anyway, I thought, I'm out there in the middle of nowhere. No one knows where I am. And so if I get lost or, you know, I'm out here, nobody's ever going to find me. I'll probably get eaten by a bear. I kind of got a thing about that too. And so it was really nerve-wracking, really, really bad. Lou and I went to San Francisco. I'm telling you about all my travels. This is all my stories in one. This is Lombard. It's Lombard Street, I think, is the name of it, Lombard Avenue. And it's in San Francisco, and it's known as the crookedest street in the United States or maybe the world. You see that, how it curves around? And if you were to go from the foot of it, you could see that's a straight drop down, too. It's a very steep, steep street. They have a sign at the front of it that says only 5 miles an hour. You can see why, because you can't go very fast on a crooked road like that. An accessible road can make all the difference in the journey, can it? The condition of the road. can either impede your journey, slow you down, keep you from going very fast, or it can make it difficult to go on the journey. Or a really good road can enhance your trip. The condition of the road determines the speed, faster, slower. The condition of the road can either make life easier or it can make it more difficult. God knows that it's the same when it comes to your heart. I mean, the scripture that Luann read a moment ago, you heard what Luke is calling us to do. Prepare a way, make a straight path, fill in the valleys, cut through the mountains, build a road. We're to give God and what he wants to do in our life a smooth, straight pathway into our hearts. Easy access, right? Too often, though, our hearts are kind of like those roads that we encountered in Alaska and that I went down in Colorado, and sometimes my heart looks very much like Lombard Street. There are barriers, there are walls, there are rough places. I don't always make it easy on God to have access to my heart and to my life. The path into my heart and life sometimes is up and it's down. It's rough and it's crooked and it's foggy. And it's like sometimes, I don't know about you, but I think at times a lot of us put up a 5-mile-per-hour speed limit sign right at the entrance to our heart and say, hey, God, a little bit slower, please. Slow down. That's too much for me right now. But John tells us to make a way. Isaiah reminds us, make a straight path. Fill every valley, make every mountain low, make the crooked road straight and smooth. Sometimes I don't make it easy on God to have access to my heart. And I'm unprepared for what God wants to give me. Matter of fact, those hindrances often prevent me from enjoying everything that God wants to give me, everything that he wants to pour into my life. So it's Christmas. It's the season of Advent. It's a time of preparation. It's a time of making ready. Are you ready for Christmas? I mean, I don't mean, is the tree up and are the lights on the house and, you know, how's it coming on your shopping list? Have you got all the presents? Have you done all your baking for the Christmas holidays? Not that kind of preparation. No, I mean, have you prepared a pathway? Have you smoothed out access for what God wants to do in you this Christmas? Have you prepared your heart so you can receive what he wants smoothly, quickly, without obstacle or difficulty? Have I made my life, my heart, easily accessible to God? How do you do that? Well, Luke says that when God wants to do something in your life, then you have to learn to think differently. The passage about preparing the roads was originally written by Isaiah. And it was written to God's people at a time of exile, right? So they've been whisked away from their country. They're basically prisoners and slaves. They were oppressed. And Isaiah says this. He says these words to make a straight path and to make the way smooth to a group of people who have been looking for God to do something, have been looking for answers. And what Isaiah is saying to them is, listen, God's going to do something in your life. You won't always be in exile. You won't always be suffering. And I don't want you to miss it. The circumstances are going to change. One day you're going to be free. One day you're going to go home. One day I'm going to set everything right. And so you need to prepare. You need to be ready for when I do that. You need to get ready to receive the hope that I want to put in your heart. While you're going through this, God will send somebody to prepare the way. So Luke is like going, this is it. This is the time. He's getting ready to announce that that's happened. God's people are no longer in exile, but they were still oppressed. The Roman government, they were ruling over God's people. They're ruling over Israel. And there are religious overseers. They are mentioned in the passage. He lists all these people. He lists the Roman government officials, and he lists who was the head priest, the chief priest at the time, as if to say, you know what? I know these are the places that you normally look to for justice. I know these are the places where you normally look for these people to make everything right. That normally you'd try to find a relief from oppression through the government. Or you would try to find relief and oppression from your religious leaders. That's the box in which you would normally find help. City Hall and the temple would be the places to look for help. We're the same today. If you're banking on whether the Republicans are in control or the Democrats are in control to make the world right, you are really barking up the wrong tree. And if you're looking for religious leaders necessarily to make the world right, you're barking up the wrong tree. That's not where help comes from, is what he's saying to us. Help comes often from outside the box. You need to think differently. You need to look in different places. It's not going to come from City Hall. It's not going to come from the temple. Do you know where God's going to begin to change things? Out in the wilderness. Not through a preacher and not through a politician, but through a prophet. God is already starting to change things by this guy, John, who's out there preaching in this unexpected way. People thought he was nuts. But you know what? I find many times when God does incredible things, everybody thinks it's nuts. It doesn't always make sense when God does something. God doesn't always fit in our little box. When God's ready to do something in our lives, it often comes from unexpected places. Places we normally wouldn't even think to look. So he's saying, you got to think differently. If you're going to receive what God wants for you this Christmas, it may come from some really weird, strange places. The church that I came here from, we had planted in St. Louis. And I remember we were about 5 or 6 years old, and we got ready to build. Felt like we needed to build. It was the right time. We'd saved up our money and everything looking towards that, but we really had a hard time finding property. Finally, I don't know, one day God led me to this. I drove by this place. I saw a sign, and we talked about it and thought, you know, we ought to at least put an offer in on it. And so we sat down and we looked, and we couldn't get anywhere near what the guy was asking. But we thought, you know, we'll go ahead. So we told our real estate agent, we said, hey, we want you to approach this guy and see if he'll sell us this property, and here's our offer. And she looked at it, and she said, oh, I don't know, he's going to laugh me out of his office. I know this guy. He's a developer, and this is really, really low. I said, yeah, I know, but we've prayed about it. We feel like that's all we can do, and, you know, if he takes it, great. If he doesn't, God's got something else for us, and so just, if you will, take that to him. So she took it in. I'll never forget. She called me back the day after, and of course, we were all praying that he would take it and everything else. And you know how that goes. You put in an offer, especially when it's low, there's this negotiation back and forth and everything else. And we had kind of already went to our top figure. So she went in, and she talked to him, and she said the guy that she was offering it to started laughing. See, he had other developments, and this one he had that was out of state that was very big, really a big deal. He had just gotten a call that morning from the EPA, and they had found some bird that was about to go extinct. I don't know what bird it was. This guy, they wanted this guy to relocate the nest of this bird out of the middle of this huge multi-million-dollar property, the EPA did, or they were going to shut him down. I don't know what bird it was, because he called it a dodo bird. So he started laughing. He said, well, he said, I'm going to tell you what. He said, you tell that preacher, he is one lucky, and there was a term that I can't say in church. And he said, because any other day I'd have laughed you out of my office. But he said, I need cash quick. So you tell that lucky preacher that if he can close in 2 weeks and give me cash, he said he can have it for that price, because I got to get rid of a dodo bird. God can use a dodo bird in an EPA. That came out of left field. We had no idea. What I'm saying to you is that sometimes God comes and does things in the most unexpected way. That's why when he looked down and he decided, who am I going to give my child to? He looked down on a young girl, unmarried. If he can take a young teenage girl and use her. Or Joseph. Joseph wasn't anybody. He's poor. He's just a carpenter. He doesn't have anything. But God took this young man who, again, not even married. God gave his child to a couple who weren't even quite married yet. If God can work, and he works in strange ways sometimes, and they don't make sense to us. And that's why if you're waiting on God, and you'll only accept God coming down the normal path he comes down, coming down the worn path he's always come to you on, look out, because you might miss something. Because he may come from this way instead of that way. He may come from this way rather than that. He may come from behind you. He may sneak up on you, but you got to be ready. You got to be willing to think differently. Take God out of the box and let God be God. Because I got to tell you something this morning. Whatever box you have God in, your box is too small. Amen? Amen. You got to think differently sometimes. Boy, John, man. He's not in the White House, and he's not in City Hall. He's not in the temple. But he's out in the wilderness working. Prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Think differently. And then you got to be willing to change directions. Luke said that John was preaching that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. That word repent, you know, means to change directions. It means I was going this way, but when I repent, I turn and I go this way. It's a total change of direction. I was trusting in this in my life, but now I'm going to turn from trusting in that for my life, and I'm going to turn to him. I'm through going my way, now I'm going to follow and go God's way. It's a total change of direction. No longer are we trusting the same old political structures, the same old religious practices, thinking they're going to deliver us. See, often we go down that well-worn path of doing the same thing all the time. And God is one who challenges us to get off the path. Luke's reminding us again that don't trust in politics and rulers, don't trust in military might, don't trust in how good you can be. I mean, God was calling people to a baptism of repentance, which was very different than the rituals in the temple. He was calling to a whole new experience of him. Let me ask you something. How long has it been since you had a whole new experience of him? Something fresh. Something real. Maybe it came outside from some strange place. Maybe it came out of someplace unexpected. Maybe it came in church. Maybe it didn't. Maybe it came in community group. Maybe it came from someplace else. But boy, God wants to give us a fresh and new experience of him and help us change directions. Prepare the way for the Lord's coming. I'm probably going to get in trouble for this. Sorry, honey. My wife is directionally challenged at moments sometimes, right? Just okay. She's not agreeing with me. But anyway, last Sunday, you know, our daughter had her baby. And so she was over there last Sunday helping her get situated and squared away. And she's been there some this week and doing her Nana thing. And Sunday afternoon, late afternoon, she called me. She said, hey, just wanted to let you know I'm headed back. Now, the way we go to my daughter, she lives in Lenexa. So the way we go, we live in the south end of town. We get on the turnpike, right? And then we hit Highway 10, and we take Highway 10 off, and we go that way into the southern part of Kansas City. And has lots of advantages. I think it's just a wee bit faster, and I have to pay less tolls. I'm a cheapskate. So anyway, So I called. So she says, I'm on my way back. And I said, oh, I said, well, where are you? And she said, well, I'm getting on Interstate 70. Well, now understand something. I've been left alone for kind of a little bit of time. So I need some prep time for the house in order to clean up before she gets home. So I'm trying to gauge how much time I have. And I went, you're about to get on 70? I'm thinking she's in Lawrence already? No, she said, I'm in Bonner Springs. I said, Bonner Springs? I said, what? how are you coming back? I said, what do you mean you're just about to get on 70? She said, I said, you know, what directions are you following? Are you on 70? No, I'm about to get on it. And I said, well, why don't you come home the way we normally come home? I said, are you sure you're going west? Because that's been an issue at times. But are you sure you're going west? And here's what she says to me, all right? Here's what she said. She said, I put it in the GPS, and this is the way that it said to go. I knew I shouldn't have called you. I'll see you in a little while. Bye. Click. Yeah, she's taking directions from somebody other than me. And I thought, how dare she go a different path than we normally go? How dare she listen to the directions of the GPS over me? How dare she pay more tolls than we have to? I don't like that. Who are you getting your directions from? Who are you listening to? You want to get your heart ready for what God wants to give you this Christmas? You have to be willing to change directions. You have to listen to what he tells you and turn around. I think we often think of repentance as something we do when we come to Christ, right? Like I asked Christ into my heart, I ask him to forgive my sins. So in order to do that, I have to repent. I have to say, I'm not going to go my way, I'm going to go your way. But if you regulate repentance to that moment only in your life, you're going to lose out. Because you see, I believe that repentance, if you're a follower of Jesus, repentance is a constant companion of mine. Because see, when you say something mean to me, hateful to me, and terrible to me, in that moment when I want to literally choke your throat, choke you out, not that I've had that feeling about anybody here, I have to listen to how he wants me to respond. I have to be willing to go a different direction than what my emotions may want me to go. You hearing me? See, when that comes across, that seductive picture comes across my computer, see, rather than give in to what my you know, inside of me, lust that the enemy, you know, that I may be experiencing, I got to be willing to go a different direction. I got to be willing to be repentant in that moment and say, not my way, not that way. I want to go his way on this and shut it off. See, living your life, see, I know this. It's not like this. It's not like, okay, we come to Christ, we've turned from our way, we go his way, we've repented, and it's like we're always on that course because we always have a tendency to veer off, and we always have a tendency sometimes to take wrong turns because sometimes, even as a follower of Christ, you can get lost sometimes. So I have to constantly be listening, and I have to constantly be letting him direct me. I have to keep a spirit of repentance in my life at all times in order so that I can change directions at any moment. See, I don't know. Right now, sitting here today, you may know. You may think that you know 5 years from now where you're supposed to go and what you're supposed to do, but it may be different. God may have a different plan, and he's not shown you that yet. He'll show you in time. Are you listening? Are you willing at any moment to change directions on not just your life, but on those decisions that you make on a daily basis? Because I believe that's really the heart of holiness, is that I let the Spirit direct me and show me where to go. It's not like Luann set the GPS and it said, go this way, that way, and this way, and she turned it off. But you have to constantly listen to it, and it's that way with you and I in Christ. It's that way with the Holy Spirit in our lives. I have to think differently. I have to be willing to change directions. And if I'm going to be prepared for what God wants me to do, I have to prepare new paths. You ever watch them build roads? We were in Tulsa. They were trying to put a toll road everywhere. Best way to pay for them, I guess. And so they built the toll road out near our house in Glenpool that was around the southern end of the city. Here's basically the way Luann saw it. It would enable her to get to the mall quicker, okay? So that's the way we viewed that. And they came out with earth movers and graders and excavators. They had backhoes. They had bulldozers. They had dump trucks. They leveled the hills. They removed boulders and they tore out trees and fences. Anything, here's the way I viewed it, anything that would prevent Luann from going to the mall, they removed out of the way. Whatever obstacles prevented traffic from moving faster, they got out of the way. And you know what I believe? Here's what I believe. I think that I am not very good at removing the obstacles in my life. Listen, If following Jesus was all about self-improvement and you could do it by yourself, then he wouldn't have put the Spirit in us. See, I think I need the Spirit. Now I need to cooperate with the Spirit. But I think most of the obstacles in my life that prevent the Spirit from directing me and leading me are just, I mean, I am not very effective at improving me, but I believe that the Spirit wants me to cooperate, and he's always working to remove those obstacles, to take out the fences that I've built, to tear down the walls that I put up. And I found that as I let the Holy Spirit work in my life, he's really good at taking those things out of the way if I let him. If I let him call a wall and let him know that and say, yep, that's got to go, it'll go. Then if I have to tear down that level, that rough place in my life, that he says, you know what, I know how to do this. I got all the knowledge. I got all the equipment. I will level that rough place out so that you can hear and see and know better how to follow. I have to cooperate. I have to acknowledge that the sin has to go, and I have to recognize that bad habit, that addiction, that hurt that somebody did to me. You know what? Some of us act out of hurts, and they're barriers. They're obstacles to the flow. It's like Lombard Street. Some of us have so many hurts, God's got to curl around and through all of these things to deliver anything into our heart and life. And the Holy Spirit says, you know what? I can heal those hurts, and here's the way we'll go, and I'll bulldoze right down the middle of that street. So that right down the middle of those hurts, so you can receive everything that God wants to put into your life. But I've got to agree with those things. You know what I think sanctification really is when you get down to it? When you really get down to it on a practical level, okay? Sanctification and holiness is the fact that because the Holy Spirit lives in me and I have dedicated, I have given, I have laid my life down to experience the fullness of his presence in my life. It means that I can say no to the stuff that used to put me in bondage. I can say no to the things, the addictions that I used to have. I can say no to the hurts that I tend to over-respond to and to other people. I can say no to lust, and I can say no to backbiting, and I can say no to gossip. I have the power in me to do it. I still have to choose to do it. But see, before we're sanctified, I believe we're kind of held captive by those things. And so I need the fullness of God's presence in my life to make the way smooth so that God can give me everything. That's the preparation that has to take place for me to make a way for him to move and speak and work in my life. And in your life too. Prepare the way for the Lord's coming. You got to let him build a new heart, a road into your heart. Are you willing to do that? Advent is a time of preparation. It's a time when you know, I think during this Christmas season, the road seems more curvy than ever because we have more demands. You know, this morning I got a couple of text messages from people. There's somebody I bumped into last week and talked to him about, hadn't seen him here for months, part of our church. Oh, I'm going to be there Sunday, Pastor, I promise. I got texts this morning. Oh, I forgot about this family thing I got to go to. I'm busy. There's lots of stuff that ends up in our lives, cluttering our lives during this Christmas season that becomes more important than him. Obstacles to letting him change us and speak through us and in us and to us. We have to make it a priority. It's hard. And then we just deal with the other stuff in our life, right? When we deal with all the things that tend to make our hearts windy, curvy paths, hurts and anger and resentment and all kinds of stuff. But Christ came to show us a new way. I've often thought, what if Mary and Joseph would have said, hey, I'm too busy. Don't have time for this. What if the wise man would have said, that's too far. That's too big a price to give those gifts. What if the shepherds would have said, you know, we got responsibilities here. I don't have time. Think of the message. Think of what they would have missed out in their life for what God wanted to do in them and through them. You and I are no different. John says, prepare the way for the Lord. Are you doing that? Are you ready to receive what he has and wants for you this Christmas? Let me ask you this. Let me ask you a couple of questions this morning. First of all, are there any areas in your life that are inaccessible? Is there a part of your life where there are no roads? Or if they are, they're like those fire roads. They're only for emergencies. Are there any places where you don't give God any access, there's no means of entry? Places in your relationships, in your life. Are there hurts and feelings in your heart that have caused obstacles to appear that make it hard for God to get in there what he wants to give you? Are you looking for him down the same old worn paths? Are you open to him doing something different in your life this Christmas? Do you need to make a change of direction? Maybe you're here this morning and you've never repented the first time to let him into your heart. Let me tell you what Christmas is all about. He came for you and he came for me. And it doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been. There's no qualifiers to any of this. He came for us, for you. And boy, that repentance just means, you know what? I'm not going to go my way anymore, God. I'm going to go your way. I want what Jesus did on the cross to count for me. Maybe you've been a follower of Jesus, and the only time you really repented was the first time. Have you veered off a little bit? Have you been tempted to take and go in different directions? Have you been every day submitting before you respond and react in the middle of that situation? Have you been saying, Lord, what's your way through this? Take me a different route if you want me to go a different route. I give myself to you. I want to live a life of repentance. Do you have some road work to do in your heart? You know, sometimes we just give God a hard way to go. We don't cooperate very easily. And I'm wondering this morning if you're sitting here and God's been talking to you about something and you've been resisting him and fighting him. And God says to you this morning, make the way straight. Let me work and move. You don't have to figure out. You go, like, well, I don't know how, God. How would you do that? I don't know how that would work. I don't know if I'll be safe. I don't know. Lord, I don't want to do that. God says, let me help you with that. One of the best things God ever did in my life when I really fully embraced him, and I believe in my life entirely sanctified me, was it came to the point where I quit wanting so much what I wanted and I wanted what he wanted for me more. Because I realized what he wanted for me more is so much better than I could ever want. That what he could give me was so much better than what the world could give me. And I don't know what you're facing this morning. I don't know what you're going through. But I know this. Whatever he wants to do in your life and whatever he wants to give to you, it's going to be better than you can imagine. It's going to be better than you could ever do yourself. Because when you let the Holy Spirit do it in your life and you let him make the roads and smooth out the way, God does incredible things. There's a whole book that tells stories about that. And it can be the same in your life. I wonder this morning if you bow your head and close your eyes and talk to God this morning for a moment. Father, you see inside of us this morning. On the one hand, it's frightening to know that you see my motives, you see my heart. It's frightening to know that you see all the ugliness inside of me. Those things that I think in my mind that nobody else knows about. Those emotions that I have that are sometimes make me feel awful. You see those and that nobody sees. And yet, on the other hand, it is comforting to know that there is one who knows me so well this morning and yet still loves me. There is one who knows me who will not turn away from the darkness in my life, who will not turn away from the places where I'm broken, but extends his arms to me in love and grace and says, come on, let me have it. I got you this morning. And so, Lord, For all of us who've given you a rough way to go, for all of us who've blocked the roads, for some of us, Lord, we've closed the roads and we've made you go off-road. God, we come to you this morning, and Father, we pray, we heed the call, prepare the way. I want to be ready this Christmas for what you want to do in me. Don't you want to be ready this Christmas for what he wants to do in you? So, Lord, I pray, help me to think differently. Help me to be open. I'm sorry I put you in the box, Lord. Get out of the box. Do something unexpected. Come from an unexpected place in my life. I'm ready. I'm ready. Wherever you come, I want to be ready. Prepare the way of my heart, Lord, for you. Make the smooth places, make the rough places smooth. Make the hills low. Fill in the valleys. God, I give myself to you this morning, Lord. Help me to think differently this morning for what you want to do in my life. God, I'm willing to go another way. If you're here this morning and you never asked Christ into your heart today, all you got to do is say, Lord, I want to follow you. I want what Jesus did on the cross to count for me. I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn from doing it my way. And this morning, I want to embrace your way, because my way's been a mess, and I'm tired of going it alone. I'm tired of being by myself. I need help. I need you. I need a Savior. I need Jesus this morning. Well, that's what Christmas is all about. Maybe you're here this morning as a follower of Christ, and you're like, Lord, I got this situation, and I've been wrestling it and fighting it, and I know, and I've been trying to do it on my own. I've been trying to do it my way. God, will you help me do it your way? I repent of doing it my way, with my spouse, with my kids, with my parents. God, I'm tired of doing it. I'm sorry. I repent of doing it my way with my friend, with that person at work that gets under my skin, with that person at school that I can't stand. I don't want to do it my way. I want to do it your way. I want to have a heart of repentance. Show me what direction I need to go. And if I need to change direction, give me the courage to do it. And Father, may you put your Spirit in me. I submit to your Spirit this morning. May the path be cleared. Remove the obstacles. If I need to forgive them, you're going to have to help me forgive them. And Father, if I need to say I'm sorry, you're going to have to give me the strength to say I'm sorry. And if I got to, whatever I got to do, Father, whatever your Holy Spirit wants me to do, I'm willing to do, because I want the road to be smooth. I want what you have for me this Christmas. I want all your power, all your love, and all your grace, and all your mercy to easily flow into my life. I give you access into every part of me today. I'm yours. Take me. Oh God, this morning, will you hear our prayer? We trust in you to change our lives. For I believe this morning, as we've submitted to you and asked you to change our thinking, you're going to change our thinking. And if we've repented and we've turned and we're going to follow you, I believe you're going to help us to follow you. And if we've given that situation into your hands and said, I repent of doing it my way, I'm going to do it your way, we're going to see incredible things happen in that situation. May be hard for a while, but we're in the end, we know doing it your way is always the best way. And God, we believe today that your Holy Spirit is going to lead us and direct us to smooth out the rough places, to bring the mountains down and the valleys up, so that we can enjoy more of your presence than we've ever enjoyed at all this Christmas. God, we don't want to miss Christmas. Prepare our hearts today. We give ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Band's going to come back, and we're going to sing a great song. Matter of fact, I was looking at it this morning, and part of the lyrics of this song says, there's no space his love can't reach. There is no part of your life that he can't reach. There is no place where we can't find peace. There's no end to amazing grace. I'm holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I'm holding on to you. This morning, if you prayed and asked Christ into your heart and you decided to turn and follow him, boy, I would love to talk with you and share with you, because I believe it's one of the most important decisions you'll ever make in your life, and I want to help you. I want to help you get to heaven. Matter of fact, that's what being a part of a church is about. We're helping each other get to heaven, right? Right? There we go. And so we want to help you do that. This morning I realized, too, some of these things we've talked about, some of these obstacles are really difficult, and if you need a hand or anything, that's why our staff is here. That's why we have community groups. There are places here for people to pray for you. There are places where we help you and navigate whatever you need, because more than anything else, I want you to go to heaven. I want you to experience in this life heaven. I want you to know the joy that comes from serving him, the joy that we sing about in Christmas, to have the peace that we've talked about this morning. So anything we can do, you just need to let us know. Will you stand with me this morning and join Pastor Jeremy and our worship team as we sing this song today, and then we're going to be dismissed. Have a great week this week.